Hello and welcome to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien Lord of the Rings podcast featuring seven siblings talking about their love for the Lord of the Rings. And sometimes those seven siblings are joined by a friend, by a guest. We invite into our geeking out about the wonderful world of Lord of the Rings. So today we are joined by my friend, Kenny Dykes. Welcome, Kenny.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Like I said, I'm a longtime listener, first time caller.
Yes, Kenny is one of the four people who listens to our podcast. So we're grateful for that. Our moms, Liz, and
are you going to listen to this one, Kenny? I mean, drop a listen if you don't listen to this one, if you've already heard it.
I'm probably going to be a little bit self-indulgent. Probably listen to it again. Yeah. So.
That's good.
Woo. Well, and maybe, Kenny, maybe you'll be able to convince Danielle to listen to it, because you'd be like, Danielle, listen to me on this podcast.
You know, you're like a mind reader.
All right. So Kenny is married to Danielle, and they have an adorable son named Caleb. And Caleb is around Elliot's age, a little bit older than Elliot, who's my oldest. And so that's some things to know about Kenny. Kenny plays, you play bass at church, right, Kenny?
No, just normal six string.
Oh, normal six string. I'm sorry. He plays in the church worship band at Bedford Church of the Nazarene. And I discovered that he's a big Lord of the Rings fan. But today, kind of guiding our conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about what it is like to first encounter the Lord of the Rings through the movies. Because Kenny told me that he first watched the movies before he read the books, which is a different experience than many of us. Although I do wonder about Snorri and Eden. I don't know if they saw the movies first. But let's hear from Kenny. Kenny, when you started off, you watched the movies first, and then that when you watched the movies, you're like, "Wow, I got to read these books." Is that how it went?
Well, I guess first of all, the very first Lord of the Rings movie I saw was the 1978 animated. My dad was a big fan of it, and as a real young kid, I didn't understand at that point. I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. But as I got older, I'd watch it again. But, oh, this is interesting. And so by the time, you know, the movies came out, that, oh, I got to see it now. It's not going to be, you know, a cartoon. It's going to be actual people. So, so this could be amazing. So, and it was everything I hoped for. And I thought, you know, I'm a guy who likes to read. You know, they always say the book's better than the movie, which, my opinion, more often than not, is true. So I thought, hey, let me try the books. And sure enough, it was better, because not only did it have the stuff that was in the movie, it had things that weren't in the movie that, you know, expounded on a lot more things, like the Bilbo's birthday party, the way Tolkien described the big tent underneath a giant tree. Like that, I could just imagine that in my mind, and it was just amazing to me. You know, the details that he would give in the books that you don't see in a movie brings out a lot more in the story, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the birthday party is one of we have Tolkien parties at our house sometimes. We usually come next time whenever it's not COVID. But yeah, no, we always have like a Tolkien party, because we always wanted to capture that Bilbo magic. You know, everybody wants to go to Bilbo's birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah. For 22nd?
Yep. September 22nd. Every year.
Yeah, usually we'd get more like 30 people or so to go to Bilbo's birthday.
Oh, it's got keep coaching all the local Tolkien fans. So yeah, whenever it's actually we can party again.
or the people that are just hangers on want to party like a hobbit. That's all good.
You know, honestly, like, I think the first, like, we talked about, a lot of us read the book first. I think at least Noelle and I did watch that movie you talked about first,
yeah.
Before we read the book. We watched the original animated.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember watching it and being confused, but thinking it had some good ideas. And then I read the entire book and was still confused. So I don't think it's the best setup animated movie I've ever watched.
You mean you read the book and you're still confused about the movie? Right?
Yeah. I think I watched the animated Return of the King 2 first, which I actually liked more. And actually, I think that made me want to read the book more than the animated.
You know, I know that we could probably have a whole podcast about the 1978 animated Lord of the Rings, but can we all agree that the number one thing question lingering from watching that movie is why the heck does Aragorn not have pants on?
Yeah, the Aragorn's miniskirt was exactly what I was going to bring up to.
You mean the short shorts that horrified us as a kid?
The guy is spending his whole life in the woods, living off the land, and he doesn't have a pair of pants.
No, that's what's left of his pair of pants. He had a pair of pants.
He had pants at one point.
Rocking the Robin look from the Batman series of the 60s.
Robin pulled it off a lot better, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Aragorn's 87 years old.
Oh, boy.
We
should
know. All right.
Donald ducking it through the whole movie.
Well said.
This episode is going to be called Aragorn's Pants, episode 7.
Donald ducking it. That's definitely a good verb for it.
Gosh.
Sonora, did you guys watch the live movies before you read the books? Or?
Yes, we did.
I think we did, but also people told me all about the books before I even read them.
And that was me. I knew the entire plot and all the characters before I read them because Noelle would like describe the entire thing to me because I wanted to know.
Well, like, I wanted to know that, but my siblings told me that I had to read the books, which is why I got paid to read the books. So I didn't even know about Tom Bombadil because no one would tell me. They had said, I had to read the books.
Which, to be fair, was good to read people to read it.
As with most things, by the time you get to the seventh child, you're like, we'll let it slide.
Yeah, we're like, oh, yeah, this. But you didn't tell me that Boromir died either because I was attached to Boromir as a child.
Yeah, I was a big Boromir fan in the movies.
That is a question for Kenny, though. Like, when reading the books, what was the biggest thing that surprised you? Like, you know, a lot of people talk about Tom Bombadil, you know, not, you know, they don't expect to see that there. You know, what's one of the things that's like, oh, wait, this is interesting. This no mention of this at all in the movies.
Well, I like Tom Bombadil. Excuse me. I mean, I know they say in the books it doesn't have really, you know, it's not a major part of the plot, but just the character of Tom Bombadil, to me, he inspired like a sense of childlike wonder, reading about him. You know, I felt like a little kid, when you're a little kid going to the mall to see Santa, that's the kind of wonder I thought, like, wow, he's...
Yeah.
He's this larger than life figure, but he's right here in front of me. You know, I can see him and touch him, but he's still mysterious to me. But, you know, I can't, but he's such a jolly, happy fellow. I just can't help but like him, you know.
And he's got a pony named Fatty Lumpkin. I mean, he's got to be a good dude when he's got a pony named Fatty Lumpkin.
Yeah, my favorite characters are characters like that. It's like Tom Bombadil. To an extent, Beorn, because he kind of just showed up and then...
And he's also not in the animated Hobbit, which is what we all want.
Yeah.
Eden likes the very brief cameos.
Yes.
I think we all watched the animated Hobbit before we read the Hobbit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was terrified.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, the interesting thing is my daughter Eleanor, she's watching me play the Hobbit computer PC game. So that's her first introduction into the world of Tolkien, which is interesting.
That's such a good introduction, though. It's so good.
Yeah. Anyway. Wait, I bought Elliot and Adeline the little people Lord of the Rings toys. So there we go. We're getting the merchandise already.
So, Kenny, Tom Bombadil, that wasn't expected, obviously, if you watched the movie. Can you remember anything else from when you first read the books that you were like, wow, that wasn't in the movie?
Probably off the top of my head, I'd say the encounter with the barrel white.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's so creepy.
Yeah, it's real Halloween-y kind of feel to it. And they, once again, Tom Bombadil gets to show up in that chapter as well, so it's like a double whammy, you know? It's like, wow. That really weird, real pleasant character that I like, and some weird, creepy, yet very cool character, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, And it's almost kind of surprising that Peter Jackson didn't find a way to include that in the movie, because that is right up his alley, being a guy who started his filmmaking career in horror. That scene is definitely a horror film.
I didn't want to seem too cliched. I don't know.
Yeah,
could be.
Like, the disembodied hand always pops into my head where it's like creeping towards.
I don't know. Like, every time it's foggy outside, I think of that chapter.
Fog of the Barrow Downs. I thought, yeah. No, I was thinking about, people always talk about the little connections between the original movie and then, like, Peter Jackson's movie, where, like, the scene with them hiding from the ring race is pretty much kind of ripped from the original animated. It's interesting to see those little connections. There are little things that he sort of put in as tributes to the original animated movie, I think, or was like, wow, that looked really cool. Let's do it in live action. If you look for those little connections, they're definitely there. But yeah.
Kenny, so my question was, you know, as you are thinking about Caleb, how, you know, he'll someday be introduced to Lord of the Rings, have you thought about how you want to do that? If you want to try to read it to him, if you want him to try to watch The Hobbit, if you want to try to watch, have him watch Aragorn Donald Ducking around 1978 film, have you thought about how you want him to encounter the story?
Well, I suppose I'd like him to read the books first, but my gut feeling says he's probably going to see the movies first. So, but future will tell, you know.
Yeah,
I guess I can't really judge it by now with books, because he has an attention span of 1/8 inch long. So, but then again, he's not in the shoot yet, so maybe I'm, you know, as Treebeard would say, maybe I'm being too hasty. So.
Well, you also have to realize that, like, I at least, I'm fairly sure Micaiah and Snart Eden, I heard it read to us in entirety.
Yes.
Before I read it myself, because our dad could read it to us.
Yeah,
so that also, like, it's the same thing as an audiobook. So we had basically read it long before we actually read it.
Yeah, and Kenny, you've got a voice that would make listening to you read it very easy.
Yeah, so fun.
It's well, at times.
Yeah, super fun. You could do all the voices, man. It'd be cool.
One of the other things I think about in the book that's not so much in the movie is like all the songs and poetry and stuff in the books, which I know some people can get kind of bogged down in that. But did you enjoy some of that, Kenny, in the books, or anybody else?
Well, I like what is it? The Walking Song. I really enjoyed. Just the poetry of it, and I forget the actor who played Pippin, Billy.
Boy.
Yeah, he did a really great job at singing it. So it's, I wish they would have done more of the songs in the movie, just see somebody put a tune to it. Because, I mean, just the written word alone is, that's beautiful to read, but, you know, it just makes you wonder in the back of your mind, wow, I wonder what this would sound like, actual music.
I agree.
I was recently listening to Use Well the Days, you know, that one that they, and that actually includes pieces of a lot more of the poems in the book than I'd realized as I looked a little more closely.
But the other thing that I don't realize is a lot of the background, like Elvish people are singing in the soundtrack, they use a lot of this stuff from the books in there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I think, speaking of elves, I think probably one of the sole problems is that I don't think Orlando Bloom can sing. And that's, some of the key main characters maybe couldn't sing, and they were the ones who would have had more of the poems.
Like, and I love Ingrid Mortensen and him, like, making up his own tunes, but I'm like, he can kind of do some chanting, you know? I'm not sure that he's, like, a great singer. He was really, I'm like, when he started singing, when he became the king, I'm like, this is so nice and majestic and cute, but he really can't sing. That's okay.
The thing is about Viggo is he probably knew all the Elvish words to each of the songs that he could have sang. Because he was that into. But
my favorite was like when Theoden was saying the poem from Rohan. That's one of my favorite ones. That how they incorporated that in the movie. I remember seeing that in the trailer, being like, "This is brilliant."
Yeah,
burn out the horse of the rider.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If it has anyone else read the Music of the Lord of the Rings book, because that I really let it's long, but I thought it was worth it because it had like what Makai was talking about, all those details about all the background poems that they put in the music.
And yeah.
All the they used.
I mean, the movies are amazing, but I think the reason that I love that one free audio book with the music with it is because I think the music is the best contribution to the Lord of the Rings from those movies. Mm-hmm. Out of everything, the music is just dead on with what I imagine. Mm-hmm. There's another movie to book question for you, Kenny. When you think about the movies, what scene, if you can pick a scene or two from the movies that you think like really got the book, like when you read the book, you were like, oh man, that was perfectly done in the movie.
Again, I'm going to say one, maybe everyone thinks, but maybe everyone might agree with me on this. Scene with the Balrog and the bridge at Khazad Dûm. And just Ian McKellen with that whole "you shall not pass," to me, that was dead on.
Yeah.
I think he actually did a little bit, put a little more oomph to it than the book might have done, possibly.
I think you could be right, yeah. Yeah, one thing I noticed about that recently, too, is that I think that the movie kind of pulled something out of the book that's a little subtle, is that I think that the book kind of implies to some degree that Gandalf, when he encounters the Balrog, Gandalf kind of realizes that the best thing for everyone is going to be if he goes and finishes off the Balrog. It's kind of like it becomes his plan at some point. And in the movies, he definitely lets go of the bridge, like intentionally. And maybe he was going to anyway because he had a Balrog hanging off of him by a whip. But he, like, you can see that, like, at one point he's like, fly, you fools, and specifically, like, let's go, and drops to go finish off the Balrog. Anyway, that was something I kind of thought of recently, and I thought the movie did a better job kind of pulling out that subtle hint that Gandalf was like, all right, I'm going to finish this problem.
Maybe, like you're saying, he figured no one else could really take it on except him, and if he didn't finish it now, it would continue
to again.
Yeah, mountain continue to cause chaos. Yeah,
that makes, you know. Yeah, I mean, a Balrog is like a version of what Sauron is, so there's no telling. Eventually, the Balrog may decide to come out of the mountain and cause trouble.
In my Silmarillion readings, they've been running around and causing a lot of trouble, so yes, Balrogs are bad news. Mm-hmm. They keep popping up.
So I have a question real quick. Prefaced off by, I have the unpopular opinion that I like to watch the movie first of stuff because then the book is like the fun and usually better expanded version of the movie. And I'm less disappointed because usually if I read the book first, I will be disappointed with the movie. But if I watch the movie first, I have good memories of it. And then I like the book and the movie. So I don't know. I actually never minded that I watched the movie first. I think even if I'd watched the live action movie, I think I wouldn't have minded. But some people like more if they read the books first and they're not, so they can be surprised by it. Like, if you could go back, would you have wanted to read the book first? Like, would you have preferred that, or were you okay with the way it worked out?
I suppose I was okay with the way it worked. I mean, I certainly wouldn't have minded reading the books. I mean, you say it gives you good memories if you see the movie, watch the movie first and then read the books. I guess that can maybe go either way. Sometimes the book is, like I said, way far better. Other times, maybe somebody can do something more with the book, you know, live action, that just, you know, they can create something that's, you know, harder for people to imagine, you know. I mean, it can go either way, but no, I don't really regret seeing the movies first.
Yeah. I mean, I totally see the live action. For me, it's hard to follow in the book when they're doing battles. I'm like, they went there and they did that. And it's more exciting and easier to follow in the movie when you're watching battle.
Well, battles, definitely. It's a lot easier just to see it visually Yeah.
I think these movies in particular, I think, are great even to see first, because a lot of the special effects hold up better in these movies than some of the other ones and like adaptations you might see. So, you know, if a bad movie with bad special effects or whatever, you might say, oh, this is cheesy, why should I read the book or whatever? And then, but because I'm actually amazed at how well this all the special effects hold up in the movie.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, you know, it's encouraging to hear from people like Kenny who are encouraged by the movies to watch the books, because I remember kind of fearing that people would just watch the movies and then not bother with the books. But I'm glad to see, and I'm glad to see that people are encouraged to read the books while watching the movies.
I was going to ask, because you mentioned earlier, can you do any impressions of any Lord of the Rings characters?
Yeah, we may have heard something about that.
We may have heard something about it.
Okay, my favorite one to freak my wife out with, if I'm sitting holding my son and cuddling with him, up to sit there and hold him and scream, "Al Pessus."
That's great.
If she's cooking dinner, I'll come up behind her, "What's in the pot, Pessus?"
Good, you caught on.
Yeah.
Maybe I should pick up this habit.
Liz might do it back though.
Yeah, Liz would do it.
This is great, Kenny. Okay, do you have any others in your repertoire besides Gollum, which is a good Gollum?
Bilbo Baggins. I gotta do a little more. But attitude in that sense. Bilbo Baggins, do not take me for some cheap conjurer of cheap magic. I'm not trying to rob you. I'm trying to help you.
All right.
Nice. And end scene.
What'd you say?
And end scene.
See, I think that we're definitely onto something, and that you should read these books to Caleb. And then also, while you're at it, read them to us. Maybe record them, and we will listen to them.
Always down for more audiobooks.
What are you going to do, the voices as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the whole point of reading, is doing the voices every time.
Can I ask one more question about like a big part of the book that's not in the movies? Like, how do you feel about like the scoring of the Shire, of the last part of the book there? Because the movie kind of ends, you know, like a normal movie, you know, happily everything's back to normal, but the book's not quite so much when they get back to Hobbiton there.
Well, see, I understand why he might have left it out of the movie. That might have been way too long of a cut.
Yeah. But
the reason I like the scouring of the Shire, it finally showed what happened to Saruman and Grima Wormtongue, because, you know, in the movies they said, oh, he's locked in the tower, let's just leave him there, he can't harm anyone anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, that's it? So after all that, you know, building an army of Isengard and raising the whole country to ground, burning everything, he just gets locked in the tower and that's the end of it. But whereas, you know, the scouring of the Shire, it was like a little more closure for me anyways. Well, as Grim Wormtongue, you know, you just want to see that bad guy get his comeuppance. You
know? Yeah.
That's what the book did. You know.
Yeah, you know, and Scouring the Shire is a pretty, I think it's a pretty brave thing for an author to do, to have that, you know, they don't get back home and everything's perfect. Everything's not the way you'd want it to be. And that's kind of a brave thing to do, but it's accurate to life.
Yeah, that after a war, you'd still have cleanup in the aftermath. And even like when they go to Bree and they figure out there's like repercussions back there when like the battle didn't get anywhere close to there. I mean, for a guy, Tolkien lived through World War I and was living through World War II, so he would have known about that. But yeah, that's a good accurate touch, that the war doesn't just end and everyone's happy and there's no cleanup to do.
Kenny, well, we've kind of put you on the hot seat here for a bit. Did you have any questions or thoughts for us? You don't have to, but if you do, I'm opening the floor for you.
As our avid listener.
Weston, this is your show. I mean, you're the seven siblings. I'm at best just the one white tree. So.
He is tall. He is white. So that kind of works.
We'll put you on the logo.
Yeah. Well, that's gonna be
the thumbnail for when we share this podcast.
Beat up your standards. No, you don't want me as a mogul, but questions, I guess. Wow, you pretty much covered every question I'd ever had in the previous episodes. This
Close it down.
That was great. That was a great run.
This is the only Lord of the Rings podcast you'll ever need. We really appreciate you coming and talking to us about the story that we love, and we're so glad that you love it. And can't wait to see how Caleb will love it. And we love to have you interacting with us anytime. If you listen to an episode and you have an idea about something we could talk about, always let us know. And hopefully we can have you as our one white tree back on again sometime. But my thing was, maybe before you go, since you do have such a great voice, could you maybe give us Gandalf saying hello and welcome to seven stars, seven siblings, and one white tree?
Hello, welcome to seven stars, seven siblings, and one white tree.
Yeah.
Nice. That was great.
It felt like Gandalf was right in the room with us.
Yes.
I could never replace Ian McKellen, hard as I try.
All right, well, enjoy scaring your wife with the Gollum voice. And, yes. Appreciate you coming on with us.
Let me see you next time.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, here we are with Mom, Mary, and she's going to talk with us a little bit today. So, how are you doing today?
Okay. Sick of snow. Okay.
My question for you today is, what moment in the Lord of the Rings movies reminds you the most of your children?
Okay, I have two. One is a happy one, and the other one always makes me cry, so bear with me. The first one is whenever Strider and them are taking off, and they're like, what about second breakfast? What about? And I'm like, that's what it was like to take off on a long trip with my children.
I can see that.
What? Yeah. How long is this going to take? What do we get to eat? What are we going to do? So
you always have to plan out the meal situation. Yep.
Yes.
And quite a few of us to figure out how to feed.
Yes. And then nobody agreed on the same place to go out to eat.
Oh yeah, that's right. it would have been nice if there would have been more Chick-fil-A's back in those days, because I think we probably all would have liked Chick-fil-A.
I don't know. Snore never liked Chick-fil-A till she worked at it. She didn't like that. She would never want to go there. And it's also expensive. So it's paying for nine people for Chick-fil-A.
I think our usual plan was Wendy's.
Yep. Still is. Still. That's the one that pretty much everybody will agree on is Wendy's. That's like the only one that I can get Snore and Eden, Bob and I to agree on is Wendy's.
Unfortunately, no Wendy's for the Hobbits and Aragorn as they were out in the wilderness.
Yep. Now the sad one. The sad one is when they're in Helm's Deep. I just think about what it would be like to be a mom when those mothers are sitting there and they're holding their babies and they have to go into Helm's Deep. And on top of that, their sons are out there and their sons are going to have to fight. And I would think about that. If that was you and Micaiah, you'd be out there, even no matter how young you were, you'd still be out there. So every time I watch that, I cry because I think about what would I do if my children were here? How would they handle that? How would I handle that? So that one.
Yeah, they have some good shots of cute little babies. It really makes you understand how important it is that they win this battle because of the kids and the moms.
Yes. It also, to me, it brings me back to the Bible too, because in the Bible, the same thing. When you read those kind of battle scenes and you think about the moms and their children and what's happening with them. So, but that is probably one of the most scenes that really gets me, because I cannot help but think about what it's like, what it would be like to be a mom and your children be there with you, and how in the world you would possibly deal with that. So That's the one that makes me think, it does make me think about my children, because I wouldn't want to be in that place, and there they are in that place.
All right, well, that's great. That's the mom's perspective on Middle Earth today. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Hello, and here we are with our dad, Harley Wheeler. Hello. And so today the question is about the books and the movies. So when you watch the movies, can you think of a moment that you said, wow, the movies really got it how I imagined, or better than I imagined from the books?
Oh, well, then certainly the Battle of Pelennor Fields with the charge of the Knights of Rohan. How about that, you know? And Helm's Deep, actually. I figured all the battle scenes would come across really great. And then,
yeah, that was cool to watch. We were saying the only thing we wish is that Théoden would have blown the horn and it would have burst like it did in the books.
That's true. How could you just not put that in, you know?
Yeah, what a cool detail. Maybe they just missed it. So, and then if you think about the movies, what is something from the books that you wish the movies would have been able to do besides the horn bursting?
Oh, well, of course, you would be able to guess. I missed the Council of Elrond. They should sit there and talk for a little while. I mean, we have a great thing of Boromir saying, not with 10,000 men can you do this, and that's good, but no. It gave you the depth and the backstory and things. But
yeah, they don't have a lot of time to sit around and talk in movies, I guess. I guess we should be grateful we got as much as we did, because I read about how they originally were telling them that they were going to have to make it into two movies, and then for a while they said they'd have to make it into one four-hour movie. So I guess we should be glad we got as much as we did out of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I think that's good.
That's good. All right. I'm back to my team.
Thank you for listening to Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast by the Wheeler family. This episode was produced by Elizabeth and Micaiah and was edited by Micaiah. Our associate producers are Quincy and Nadia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com. That's purple-planet.com. If you liked our show, please tell your friends, rate, review, and come back next time. And thank you for your support. This has been an Unwashed Bear production.
I don't know what's so controversial. Do you think we should have black boots or white?
What's Snorri saying?
Yeah, separate things. Snorri's drawing something.
Sorry, I'm drawing. I'm multitasking.
Oh, there goes all the bloopers.
Kenny, I'll ask you a question.
Black boots or white boots?
Well, I'm trying to decide what I want to do for a stormtrooper costume. They should have white boots or black boots.
Why don't you do one boot white, the other one black?
That's oh, an idea. I like that better.
That's right.
So, right. I was gonna.
Elizabeth, you're on mute. If you're saying something funny, it was on mute.
Hilarious, you missed it.
Hello. Are you liking the show but not sure when the next episode will come out? We've got good news for you. Seven Stars, Seven Siblings, and One White Tree, a Tolkien podcast, will be premiering every month on the 22nd.
Oh,
sorry, we can't.